The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
NFL Live, Jamal Adams got his wish, traded from the Jets to the Seahawks. Does this mean that Seattle should now be a Super Bowl contender? And Adams is one of the top safeties in the league. But who's at the top of the wide receiver position? Keenan Allen made his case, now we'll make ours. And Jeff Saturday is in the house, so how about some big man touchdowns? In honor of the NFL's 101st season, it's time to school you with a little NFL 101 and how that play is done. Hello and welcome into NFL Live. I'm Field Yates, joined by Adam Schefter and a special guest, ESPN's MLB extraordinaire, Jeff Passan, the insider, of course. And on Monday, Jeff, you reported that 13 members of the Miami Marlins organization tested positive for COVID-19, including 11 players. That led to the cancellation of their home opener against the Baltimore Orioles. So we head right now to Jeff Passan. And general question here, Jeff, is how is the MLB handling this scary situation?
Well, Field, they're looking at it right now like the show must go on. Now, with the Miami Marlins, their game today, their home opener was canceled. And with the Baltimore Orioles, sources telling me traveling back home to Baltimore, it looks like Tuesday's game will not be played in Miami either. Additionally, the New York Yankees were supposed to visit the Philadelphia Phillies, who the Miami Marlins have been playing for the last couple of days. That game has been postponed as well. But around baseball, as of this moment, all of the other games are planned to go on as expected, and Major League Baseball is looking at this like a singular outbreak. The tests have been positive in decreasing numbers consistently over the last few weeks, and they're looking at this hopefully like an isolated incident and not something that is going to force the cancellation of the 2020 season.
Jeff, I think I speak for baseball fans everywhere in saying we do hope that is the case. And Adam, let's turn it now to football because this story broke earlier this morning. What has the reaction been around the league so far today?
Listen, everybody's paying attention to all the other sports and what's going on. The fact of the matter is the NFL is not going to be in a bubble this season, but the league has imposed new rules for this season about what players can't and can't do. And the league is planning to enforce those rules if any players step out of line. It's going to be incumbent upon each team, each coach, each player to act responsibly, for coaches to deliver that message. And again, that was part of the COVID rules that were passed out this weekend to the players as a result of the negotiations that went on and concluded Friday night. Now, one of the members of the NFLPA's executive committee is the Saints punter Thomas Morstad, one of the most intelligent players in the league. He was a guest on my podcast this morning, and here's what he had to say about it.
There's no way to guarantee that no one's going to get it. People can laugh at that all they want. I know it's less than a handful of guys have had issues throughout the entire offseason. I don't expect some of our behaviors to change other than the fact that we would all be coming to work together. Three ridiculous, crazy cleanings that they're doing every single day in these public spaces. You know, the environment that we'll be in at the Saints facility will be the cleanest environment ever. But I'm sure there'll be a situation with the team this year where something like that happens. The frequency of testing is the big thing. Just being on it constantly so that as soon as we find guys, we can kind of get them isolated and make sure they're not affecting the rest of the team. I know they're splitting up position groups in the locker room. Guys that will generally be grouped together won't be grouped together the rest of their day, because that'd be the worst thing ever if all of a sudden you have all three of your quarterbacks all have it. I know Rodgers got kind of the call on canceling things, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And Field, it's going to be an unpredictable year, as we've seen already. And just earlier today, the Minnesota Vikings announced that their head trainer and their lead infection control officer, Eric Sugarman, has contracted COVID-19 along with members of his family. They tested positive over the weekend. Again, another example of how there's going to be many unexpected events that arise throughout the course of this season.
And Adam, it's really interesting to hear Thomas Morstead say some of the same things I've heard baseball players say throughout the last 2 months as they've been preparing to come back. Things are going to be clean. Everybody's going to follow protocol. We need to make sure this is happening. It's one thing to say that when you are outside of the bubble. It's an entirely different thing to actually practice what you preach. And some of the sources who have been talking with me about what the situation has been like inside of clubhouses say people aren't social distancing. People aren't wearing masks where they should be. People are going places off the field where they shouldn't. And I don't know if that was the source of the outbreak inside the Miami Marlins clubhouse. What I do know is that if baseball continues throughout this year and continues to play, and the behavior remains the same where it's lackadaisical and they're not following some of these protocols, the likelihood of an outbreak is that much greater, and the likelihood of the season ultimately being shut down because of it grows that much larger.
Well, Jeff, we thank you for your insight. It requires unprecedented discipline right now. And Adam, the NFL is just 45 days away from kickoff of its regular season. What is the league's plan if there is a widespread outbreak within a team like the MLB is dealing with right now?
Listen, that would be the control and decision of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, and nobody knows exactly how it would be handled. I think we're in a situation here this year, Field, where competitive balance is out the window. Decisions are going to have to be made. We don't know how they will go, and the league is going to do the best job it can to try to fend off the virus, defend against it, and make sure that it doesn't find itself in the type of situation that Major League Baseball does today. But we don't know how it would work yet. We're waiting to see, and hopefully the NFL doesn't have to find out.
Our two stalwarts, Jeff and Adam, thanks a lot for you guys for your insight here. Eagles coach Doug Peterson and the Seahawks' Bruce Irvin also reacted to the news earlier today that, of course, Jeff has been reporting on all morning. Here's a listen to what they had to say.
It's unfortunate what has happened, but, you know, we do have a lengthy set of protocols that, you know, we have to abide by. And this is our new normal right now. You know, we're looking at all the leagues, obviously, and what everybody is doing. But you know what? I'm concerned right here with Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Eagles, our players, and trying to get our team, you know, ready to go for the regular season.
Obviously, safety's first. So, you know, I agree 100% with what baseball is doing. I have complete faith in the Seahawks organization that they took the cautionary measures and the necessary steps to make sure that we're all going to be safe and in a healthy environment.
We're opening things up here as I'm joined now by Diana Russini, Jeff Saturday, and Booger McFarland. Diana, we're going to go to you first. What have you been hearing from coaches and players around the league this morning in reaction to this major baseball news?
Well, all eyes and ears are on this right now as they're watching to see how MLB is going to handle this, how this is going to move forward, whether or not their season's going to continue. In terms of where we're at with the NFL, so we know that the rookies, they've been showing up to the facility, they've been getting tested, and tomorrow the vets will report. Now, despite the fact that obviously some people have tested positive for COVID, all organizations, all veterans will be expected to report tomorrow. That being said, talking to different coaches and GMs around the league about what their organizations are doing today, many of them are taking their rookies through their facilities to take a look at the training rooms, the workout rooms, the locker rooms. Because remember, rookies have not been inside. I did have some teams send me some photos of what these meeting rooms look like. A lot of the teams are going to have tents set up where players are going to be eating outside to make sure they're in open-aired spaces. So essentially, this is it, Field. Teams are doing everything they possibly can to make sure that the players are going to be safe. And you heard Thomas Morstead talk about how clean that Saints facility is. Patrick Mahomes said the same thing last week about the Chiefs facility. He's blown away by how it looks inside and what they're doing to make sure that everyone is going to go about this and make sure they're getting those daily tests, wearing those masks, and hopefully trying to control this as much as possible, Field.
Booger, we're nearly 4.5 months into the sports shutdown with recent restarts. And it feels like this is getting more real now for the NFL between the Marlins news and, as you just saw on your screen, six players being placed on the reserve COVID list in the NFL yesterday. What do you make of all this?
Well, it's definitely something I think all of us knew was coming. I think what we don't know is how the leagues and how the teams are going to respond. I think that's why we're all paying attention to see what Major League Baseball does and how they respond. But here's the one thing that I can say for NFL fans. Roger Goodell has shown a propensity over the last several months to move full steam ahead with the NFL. I don't think that's changing. And I've said it before on this show, unless there is a player or a coach or someone directly connected to their family that gets gravely ill, I think the NFL is going to move full steam ahead. And if a few players test positive, oh well, they're just going to keep moving forward, because I think the NFL understands that this is not going to be perfect. You're going to have missteps, but the NFL has a marathon that they have to run. This is not a sprint. This is not like Major League Baseball. They are trying to run a sprint and get done before October. Football's got to go all the way into the Super Bowl in February. And so Roger Goodell is in this for the long haul. And just hopefully we don't run into a situation where you get 30 or 40 guys on one team that get infected. Because at that point, I think the commissioner is going to have to really set back and say, okay, how do I balance the economic impact of football and the lives that plays for a lot of people, and balance someone's health? To me, hopefully we don't get to that situation. But if we do, Roger Goodell, that's the reason they pay you the big bucks, because he's going to have to make that decision at that time.
Jeff, earlier today, Rockies pitcher Tim Collins was a player who opted out of the season. He had been on the fence about whether he wanted to play in the MLB this season. But you see this outbreak, and I think a lot of players are probably reconsidering their prospects of playing this season. What would it take for you to opt out of a football season, knowing that we haven't even started yet?
You know, I honestly feel I don't think I would opt out. I mean, if I had issues and health issues that put me at high risk, that may be one thing. But, I think it would be very difficult for me. I would think of things. I don't think this is a surprise with what happened to Miami. I think it's going to happen on teams. It's, hey, how can you limit the exposure? What can you do personally? Whether that meant you know, even my wife and I discussed this. You know, if I was playing, would you go get your own hotel room? And after you leave the team, you stay in your own hotel until, you know, the season kind of gets moving and you see how kind of everything's progressing. No one knows. I mean, it's a pandemic. No one has any idea how this thing's going to lay out. To Booger's point, the NFL is pushing forward. And so you have a limited amount of time to do this. When you're talking about those types of dollars and the economic impact, not only for players, but for cities, all those conversations, this is real. There's nothing easy about the decisions that are going to have to be made. But ultimately, for me, I think I would play and continue to, unless I did have something that was already there before this pandemic began. And so, you know, for players, man, everybody has to make their own decision. I mean, there's no easy decision for anybody. I think most guys you will see will continue to press on and press forward, like Booger said, and you'll see a season that's, you know, they do the best they can. Even what Shefty was saying early, they're going to give you the best they got. You know, it won't be perfect. There'll be bumps in the road, but I think guys will continue to push and do their absolute best. That's what it's going to require. It's going to require everyone to put forth the best discipline they can, because even the most disciplined, there's still exposure. There's no way to limit exposure, right? It's an impossibility. We all understand that. Now, how can we reduce it and make this as seamless as we possibly can with the new pandemic and all the things that it impacts?
Well, to say that this season will be unlike any other is probably the understatement of the century. Certainly will be a unique NFL season ahead. Just 45 days, again, until Chiefs-Texans in Week 1.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
New on NFL Live, no one breaks more news than Adam Schefter. And Schefty, tell us what you can about Raheem Mostert and the 49ers.
Here's what happened. Basically, the 49ers and Raheem Mostert just reworked his contract. He has 2 years left on his contract right now. Field, the contract stays the same. The 49ers have added incentives, given him a bonus, and now Mostert has the ability to basically double his salary through performance, through rushing yards. I think he was due about $2.8 million this year. can earn upwards of $5.5 or so million, but the years stay the same on the contract. The important part is there's no more disagreement between Mostert and the Niners. They've resolved their differences. Mostert will report to camp. He will not be traded. He will be a member of the 49ers backfield on a reworked contract.
Well, that's good to know, Chef. He will not only be a 49ers running back, he may be a running back on my fantasy team as well. He was awesome last season. All right, moving forward to the Jamal Adams saga, which came to an end on Saturday as the disgruntled Jets safety was traded to Seattle along with a 2022 fourth-round pick in exchange for a first-round pick in each of the next 2 years, plus a 2021 third-round pick and veteran safety Bradley McDougal, who's been a full-time starter in Seattle over the past 2 seasons. Jamal Adams took to Twitter following the trade, writing, "To New York and especially the Jets fans, I love you and I always will love you. You all will hold a special place in my heart forever. When I came into the league, you embraced me and watched me grow. We went through it all together. Thank you for the love and support these past 3 years. #PrezOut. To the Seahawks organization and fans, you have a man on a mission, a man all in on winning a Super Bowl, being the best leader and teammate he can be, and a man who will give everything he has to the city of Seattle and the 12s all across the world. Thank you for believing in me." Well, the Seahawks are getting an all-around playmaker in Jamal Adams. According to NFL's next-gen stats, since entering the league in 2017, Adams ranks fourth among safeties in completion percentage allowed as the nearest defender. He's recorded the pressure on, 47 plays, the most by any defensive back, and he has 33 run stuffs, tied for second amongst DBs. All right, Booger, the easy thing is to say the Seahawks were getting an all-pro. But dig deeper. Tell me more. What kind of player are they truly getting in this trade?
Well, Phil, he's a difference maker, a guy that can affect the game in a myriad of ways. People look at this and they say, well, he's just a safety, a guy that's going to play in the middle of the field or a guy that's going to come down. No, you're getting a playmaker, a guy that you can put in the box and say, okay, he can play like a linebacker because he can snuff the run, make the tackle in the backfield, and affect the running game. But then you say, okay, well, what else can he do? How can he change that? You can stick him in pass coverage and put him up against the tight end. We've seen him go against Rob Gronkowski one-on-one. Think about the great tight ends in this league. Kelsey, Kittle. Sometimes you got to line and put a safety up against them one-on-one. So not only do you have a player that can play the run, but you can stick him in coverage against some of the better athletic hybrid tight ends that we have in this league. And oh, by the way, if you need somebody to get after the quarterback, don't we all remember this play against the Giants? The blitz, the come in, the sack, the fumble, and the touchdown, the hat trick. So there are people around the league that are looking at this, and they're going to say, you traded what for a safety? Here's the way I would ask them to look at this. You traded what for a playmaker? And in the National Football League, I don't care what position you play, whether you're a punter, whether you're a running back, a wide receiver. If you are a playmaker, you can affect the game. And when you look at Seattle and where they are, and normally they pick between 23 and 25 the last 5 years, I think trading away two ones for a guy can be a playmaker on your team, and you have your franchise quarterback to go along with KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner. This team is set to make another run deep into the postseason this year, and I think it's one hell of a trade for John Snyder and Pete Carroll.
Hey, shout out to playmaking punters everywhere. Johnny Hecker of the Rams, I'm looking at you. All right, so we know where Booger feels about this one, but how about you, Jeff? Is Jamal Adams worth basically two first-round picks?
No. Listen, he is a baller. I have no issue. Will Seattle's defense be better? Booger just laid out the perfect example. Absolutely. They will be better with Jamal Adams on the football field. There is no doubt in my mind. But do you give away – not only do you give away two first, you give away a good player who is in your back who's starting the last 2 years and a swap up, all these things. But by the way, we got to go pay him. He's got to get a contract done, right? He's got this year and a fifth year. But he was with the Jets. The issue was his contract. You still have to get that. So what are we talking about salary cap-wise? Now you look at the Seahawks and go, does this guy – get us over the edge as a Super Bowl contender? The reason I say the answer is no is because your offense and defensive lines have struggled. You haven't struggled in the defensive backfield. You haven't struggled with your quarterback to what he was just saying. You know you got Superman back there. Let's help him. Let's help him be a better player. So when you're looking at it, do I think he's a heck of a ball player? Absolutely. Do I think he's a great playmaker? Absolutely. Would I give up what they gave up to get him? Regardless of position, this is where in an organization
They have other needs that were more pressing than a safety slash whatever playmaker you have on the back end. He can't put points on the board. Here's the bottom line. I think that in totality over the season, they outscored their opponents by 7 points. Seven. Think about Baltimore, Kansas City, San Francisco, all the teams that when you talk about Super Bowl contenders, they score a whole lot more points than the other guy. You got to score points in this league right now. It's great to have a good safety back here and the best safety in the game. Ultimately, he does not put them over the edge on a Super Bowl contender.
I want to get you in there, Diane. I thought you had something to add, but we'll keep moving right forward then.
Field, I did. I appreciate that you saw my face, right? I was just staring at Jeff, and I'm agreeing with what Jeff is saying, but also going back to what Booger was talking about, you know, Jamal just being an incredible player, that Swiss Army knife. We know the kind of defense they played in New York. They played a lot of man, which allowed Jamal Adams to blitz as much as he did. We know Seattle plays a lot of cover three. I don't know if they're going to be blitzing him as much as we saw them do that in New York. So a lot of his success had credit to do with Greg Williams and the scheme that worked for him in New York. But in terms of putting Seattle over the edge, do they now become the favorite in that division? While Jamal certainly makes an immediate impact, I don't think he's the piece that puts them into that conversation of a contender for the Super Bowl.
Really interesting here. So I'm going to get right back in this book because I feel like you're on an island now.
Well, first of all, I don't mind being on an island. Gilligan was on the island,
That's
too,
right.
And I think he fared pretty well. So did Tom Hanks in Castaway. Listen, hey, here's what I'll say. In order to win your division, you're going to have to get through the 49ers because I think it's going to be Seattle and the 49ers in that division. And what does the 49ers do well? They run the football. They line up and they come at you. The Seattle Seahawks struggle stopping the run. So now you have a safety that can be a playmaker stopping the run. I understand the value in putting him over the top. The Seattle Seahawks aren't that far off. They were within one play of having home field advantage in the postseason against the 49ers. So imagine if they get that and everybody's got to come through Seattle in those 12s. I understand he doesn't put points on the board, but he sure as hell can take points off the board, Jeff Saturday. And Phil, let me say this. People are going to figure this out. Who won the trade? Did Seattle win the trade or did the Jets win the trade? Phil, I got traded to the Indianapolis Colts with my man Jeff Saturday. The Colts sent a second round pick to Tampa Bay for old Boog. You know who the Bucs took with that second round pick? Savvy Piscatelli. Do you know where Savvy Piscatelli is? He's wrestling somewhere and nobody's heard from him since.
He's a doctor.
I gotta think that the Indianapolis Colts won that trade. So understand, we won't know who won the trade until Joe Douglas makes those first round picks. But sometimes you can get a player that can make an impact, and just even a nose tackle made an impact in Indy, and we won a Super Bowl. So let's see what Jamal Adams can do for the Seattle Seahawks.
Anytime you're adding Boog, it's a good thing. What do you got, Jeff?
Best trade we ever made, man. Hey, the floor is yours, my man, Boog. The best trade we ever made. Put us over the top, baby.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
All you guys need to do is reminisce about winning Super Bowls together. Next thing you know, you see everything eye to eye once again. We'll get to the Jets side of this trade a little bit later on in the show.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the latest game of he said, news over the weekend got a little confusing regarding whether Vikings star running back Dalvin Cook will be reported to training camp absent the new long-term deal he covers. Cook, who is due just $1.3 million this season, has previously made it clear through his camp that he will hold out until he receives a, quote, reasonable offer. Here's head coach Mike Zimmer on if he expects Cook at camp.
Yes, I've told he would be.
By his camp, just to be clear.
Our Adam Schefter tweeted the response from Cook's agent Zach Hiller, saying, first, congrats to Coach Zimmer on his well-earned extension. However, Dalvin has not spoken to him in regards to reporting to camp. We are unsure why this was said. I hope Dalvin can continue to play a major role in the Vikings' future success. And, quote, Dalvin and Coach Polamalu speak often as they have a great relationship. Dalvin has never mentioned to him anything in regards to reporting to camp. I'm not sure where the miscommunication is. I hope Dalvin plays a major role in the Vikings' future success. That was in reference to an NFL Network report stating that Cook had actually told Polamalu, who in turn told Mike Zimmer. Let's get Diana back involved here. And, Diana, what are you hearing on Cook? Because I'm very confused right now.
Yeah, I want to throw in another he said for you here. So Mike Zimmer went on a local radio station, KFAN, in Minneapolis, and he was asked about the Dalvin Cook situation, and he said that he's going to make Dalvin Cook a captain because of the things that he represents here. And he went on to say that he hope he gets as much money as he can, and I also hope he's playing for us. Said, I love the kid, and he's been a terrific football player, and he's been a great asset to our team and our locker room. So it sounds at this point right now, Zimmer's sort of planting the seed here, opening the arms, being like, come on, come to camp. On the miscommunication there, which is what it sounds like it is right now, we don't know how this will work out, but it seems that Minnesota here is trying to get Dalvin to show up.
Okay, a lot to follow here. And, Boog, let's ask this question. It's one thing about whether Dalvin Cook said he was going to show up to camp or not, but let's talk about it practically speaking. Should Dalvin Cook hold out?
No, because I don't think he gains anything from holding out. Number one, when you look at the new CBA, if he holds out and doesn't report, I don't know the exact language, Jeff, you can piggyback on that, but he would not get an accredited season. And so therefore, when and if he does become a free agent, it would be a year later. Number two, it's not going to gain anything. Like, if you really want to do something, you show up to camp, you show them you're healthy, and then you just kind of have a little nagging hamstring strain. Maybe the shoulder isn't right. Like there's a way to do this where you don't have to make a public spectacle holding out and create a bunch of headlines. You can report to camp, and your agent, who, by the way, should stop texting Shefty and sending Shefty all these quotes, he probably should contact Spielman and say, okay, can we negotiate a deal? That would be number one for me. I would have my agent doing that. But to answer your question, Phil, no. Dalvin, show up. It's the price that a lot of players are going to have to play, especially with that franchise tag looming out there. There's really nothing you can do except hope your owner is very generous the way that Jerry Jones was with Ezekiel Elliott. Other than that, man, show up and hope your agent stops texting Shefty, and hopefully he can get a deal done behind the scenes.
Hey, I will say this. The one caveat to all this, because I fully agree with Boog, is with the new rules with COVID, the potential for a player coming and playing week one and then being able to opt out and still getting an accrued season, there's some things there. Not sure it's all worked out in the details, but I would say that would be something that you could pay attention to as far as, is it something that a player could actually exercise his right to go play week one? Now he gets an accrued season, which would help to free agency the following year. Not sure all of that has been inked out and fully vetted, but I think that's the case now of what they talked about. So if he did opt out and still got the year, maybe something he would do. The bottom line is Dalvin Cook on the field is going to make more money, showing what he can potentially do, his body, his health, his sustainability, all those things matter in the NFL because everybody's watching. It's not just his team. Everybody's watching. So just a couple little points there to add on to Boog.
Well, they pay you for what you're going to do in the future, not what you've done in the past. But if they did, Dalvin Cook did average the second most scrimmage yards per game in the NFL last season, trailing only Christian McCaffrey. Now from the backfield out to wide receivers. Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen took to Twitter after seeing where he ranks, writing, okay, I'm tired of biting my tongue at Cheetah, Mike Evans, and Chris Goodwin, and the list goes on. Those guys are not a better receiver than me. Faster than me every day of the week. But separation, child, please. Evans responding with, "You tagged the wrong Chris Godwin, LOL, and don't be mad at us. We ain't make the rankings or care about him. I like the confidence, but be realistic. You're not on my level, bro." Love it. Over the last three seasons, Keenan Allen and Mike Evans ranked fourth and fifth, respectively, in receiving yards. Evans has the edge in touchdown grabs of 21, but the biggest difference between the two of them might be what they do after the catch, as Allen has almost twice as many yards after the catch as Evans and averages over a full yard more after the catch. Ooh, we're going to get our defensive tackle involved here. Booger, I give you the opportunity to pick a wide receiver between Keenan Allen or Mike Evans. Of course, you see Evans very closely as a Tampa resident. Who are you taking between these two superstars?
Well, generally speaking, and this is going to go against everything that I was as a player since I was 6 feet tall, I'm going to go with the bigger guy, Mike Evans. Mike Evans is 6'4", 6'5". He's a bigger target. And with Jameis Winston, I mean, he just exploded to one of the top 5 to 6 receivers in the National Football League. And I think, although his stats may come down a little bit with Tom Brady, I think he's going to be a better receiver because the ball will be there on time and he won't have to worry about errant throws. But Keenan Allen, without a doubt, I think when you look at route running, his ability to get open, his ability to run after the catch, as that graphic stated, he may be one of the top 2 or 3 route runners in the National Football League. And if you told me, if you kind of twisted my arm and you say, "Boog, you got to take Keenan Allen," I'm going to still be happy because he's been as productive as any receiver in the National Football League. But if I had to choose, I'm going to go with Mike Evans because he's a bigger guy.
All right, listen, this is an embarrassment of riches. I love that two of the best in our game are talking about you ain't on my level. You're both pretty good, man. I mean, let's be real, okay? So whatever level y'all are on, everybody's chasing your level. So I love the competition between the two guys. I'm actually going to go towards Allen, though. I would say yards after the catch and what he can do, it's remarkable. Boog made mention of his route running, which is absolutely incredible. But the separation and with the separation he gets, but what he does with the ball in his hand after the catch has just been incredible with Phillip Rivers, what the connection they had. Obviously, Rivers now being a Colt. But when you look at what Keenan Allen has done, it's been remarkable, man. And it's just hysterical that these two guys, who, by the way, will never match up. It's like when we compare quarterbacks, man. They never play each other, right?
Exactly.
We always give them they never will go against each other. Let's get a DB in the mix talking trash. That may be better because then we can line somebody up. But, you know, two of the best going at it. Yeah, it's good Twitter feed, that's for sure.
I was going to say, I just love it for the Twitter. I'm here for the replies and the mentions. Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, I'll take either one. You guys can have the alternative option. Both guys are absolute superstars.
Yeah, tag the right people.
ESPN Fantasy Football is back, and with the season right around the corner, get your league set now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. Also, subscribe to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. All right, let's take a look now at the details from the trade that landed Jamal Adams in Seattle. The Jets got safety Bradley McDougal along with first-round draft picks in 2021 and 2022, plus a third-round pick in 2021 in exchange for Adams and a fourth-rounder in 2022. After the Adams trade, Le'Veon Bell took to Twitter with this, quote, "People do all the hooting and hollering to get you brought in just to leave. LOL, like people weird, yo. The internet got these dudes doing whatever for attention, even when they tell you, expletive, they don't believe themselves." Adams responded, "Noted, see you week 14. Then Bell added this, "Noted what? LOL, that you lied? Please trust that if this is noted, and if I'm supposed to take see you week 14 as a threat, I don't. But it's still all love, and like I told you on the phone, I want the best for you. If this is the best for you, I want it for you, bro." All right, lot to get through there. Jeff, we'll start with you. What's your reaction to how Le'Veon Bell has approached or reacted or handled the situation with Jamal Adams in the trade?
Well, it sounds like Adams did some recruiting for Bell when he was coming to New York, and he's a little hurt now that my man, you know, left and went to Seattle. The reality is we all got families to take care of, right? I mean, we got friends in the locker room, but they ain't my responsibility. And when Bell had contract issues in Pittsburgh, he handled them the way he felt was best. No different for Jamal Adams. And whether you have friends in the locker room or not, you got people at home that you're more concerned with in the relationships in that locker room. And, you know, never get it twisted. As much as we like each other, we are business associates at the end of the day. And we all have a job to do. I have no ill will for Jamal Adams wanting a trade, wanting to get out.
man spoke his mind, and best of luck to him. And for Bell, it just, you know, he knows his team. You know, it took a huge loss. Honestly, probably the best player on their football team is now in Seattle. That hurts. But don't ever question a man when he's taking care of his own contract business.
All right. Well, Booger, it's great to have first-round picks. But you know what's even better? To have someone who can make excellent choices with those first-round picks. Do you trust that Joe Douglas is the guy to make these picks worthwhile?
Well, I do, because I think, you know, if you look at what Joe is doing, anytime you're a new GM and you have to come into a building, the first thing you got to do is assess what you have there and then figure out a plan of how you move forward. And I think Joe Douglas has done that. And I think moving forward, he's going to have a plan in place. Now, the key will be, can you identify the players that are going to be there, which those picks are most likely going to be between 23 and 25, which is that's where traditionally Seattle has picked the last 5 years. And you got to identify those players. There isn't a plethora of players between 20 and 32 every year that are going to be stars. I went back and looked at it. There's probably 3-4 players every year out of those 12. So is Joe going to be able to pick those players? I trust him. I think he's going to do a really, really good job. It's just going to take some time before we figure out whether or not those players are going to be successful and as productive as the guy you just traded away in Jamal Adams.
Yeah, Booger, I call him the janitor of New York because Joe Douglas is just on this mission to clean up this Jets organization. And it's a really, really tall task. And, you know, last week when we started to see even more tweets coming from Jamal Adams, actually during NFL Live Fields, soon as we saw Jamal go after Woody Johnson, that's when I really believed that this was going to happen. I don't think anyone was surprised by this trade, knowing how outlandish Jamal was about not feeling that this team was really taking care of him and the fact that they weren't sticking to their word, according to Jamal. But in terms of the future of the New York Jets, this seemed like this had to be the right thing to do for them, or at least the first step into putting this team in the right direction, because this was not going to work. When you go after your head coach, when you go after the owner, your boss, the guy that signs your check, how do you expect to make that work? It was a very complicated situation. Now Douglas just has to try to make some magic out of this. And you know, some people have questioned Jamal's overall emotions, right? He is a very fiery guy. I think Pete Carroll and John Schneider, they're going to have their hands full with Jamal, but they know what they're getting there, and they're getting a superior player here. But I think with some guidance and some vets around him, you know, Jamal's going to be very successful in Seattle.
Well, and one thing is clear. This had to come to a head. There was just too much public animosity and too much motivation for both sides to find a resolution. And there is one. Russell Wilson and Jamal Adams are now teammates in Seattle.